This is Money Every Month with Robin Roberts of Pikes Peak National Bank and Tim Lee of Hoff and Lee. Robin and Tim will help you find and fund assets to build personal wealth. Now, here's Robin and Tim.
This is episode 3 of Money Every Month. This is a show where we help you find and fund assets to build personal wealth. I'm Robin Roberts with Pikes Peak National Bank, here with Tim Lee with Hoff and Lee Commercial Real Estate. And today we're talking to all of you investors out there who are thinking about purchasing commercial real estate for investment purposes. Maybe you have some commercial real estate already and you're got a lot of cash in the bank and it's not earning you any money. And so you're thinking about getting something that's going to actually have a return on a money every month basis. So Tim has some three takeaways about commercial real estate for those people who are looking to invest in commercial real estate.
Well, actually, I probably have more than three takeaways, but
yes,
we're going to focus on three takeaways. But, you know, here's what's really interesting is when you talk about money every month, and since we started, you know, this kind of fledgling little operation of radio show podcast thing, you know, I talked all day long. I'm just talking to people. I said, you know, yeah, we're doing a radio show. And then first of all, they perk up and they go, really, radio? And I go, yeah, I'm like the daddy of the radio now, you know. And they just people just love it. And I tell them that the topic is money every month. And then all of a sudden their ears don't just perk up, but they kind of curve in so they can hear everything, right? And it's really funny because it does not matter if you're making, you know, $500 a month or if you're making $50,000 a month. People want to find out how can you make more money every month. And I just met last week with a couple of really good friends of mine. They have in their own respect, very large construction companies. And they own lots of equipment. And I mean, I hate to think what the value of all their stuff is. And they want to sell all that stuff and convert it to commercial real estate so that they can, you know, as they say, live the dream and clip those coupons and get money every month. And it's kind of, I'm always struck because I always thought that these guys were probably just raking in the dough. But you know, you look at overhead expenses, insurance costs, got to go find a new, as soon as you finish that job, you got to go look for a new job, you know. And so our paradigm, which is to, you know, help people learn stuff so they can create opportunities for themselves to get more money every month, is really, you know, something that's being really sought after. And I was struck because I do a lot of, you know, show prep and read stuff all the time. And, you know, macro econ's kind of one of my things that I like to read about and stuff. And so when you talk about, you know, money every month, consider that if you went out, like in the old days, it used to be that if you got to retirement age, for example, you might buy some treasury certificates of some type, bonds or notes or whatever, which just depended on the length, right? But if you went out and you bought U.S. Treasury bonds right now, and let's say you put $1 million to buy a bond or $100,000, doesn't matter the amount, but you went and plunked that money down at the Treasury window. There's a bank in Denver where you can actually go buy them and receive the certificate. I've done it. It would take you 50 years to get your money back. That's how bad the investment is. You know, and we talk about what's the rate of return on an investment. So, you know, it's, you know, really smart guys try and get a 20% annual return so you get all your money back in 5 years. So think about that. The comparison would be 5 years return on your investment or 50 years. Then that just means the interest rate that you're receiving on that investment is horribly low. And so if you, in the old paradigm where, you know, just, you know, went to school, maybe graduated college, got a job, you know, and went to work, you know, every day for 40 years, for 40 hours for somebody else, and you save money in your IRA or whatever you did, the system has screwed you. You know, the system has just screwed you because you can't, the old parent, you can't just take that money and just, you know, retire on that money. So your money every month is like dissipated because of the system. And so people are become more and more attuned to what are the strategies that they can, you know, deploy and, you know, what can they do to, you know, to basically pull themselves out of the system. And so that's kind of what I like. That's what I like about this show is we get to talk about that stuff. It's pretty cool. And I, you know, in the same stuff that I was reading about 50 years to get the return on your money in the U.S., could you imagine if you were like in Europe, and we don't pay attention to what's going on around the world. We're so myopic in the U.S., we don't pay any attention to anything. But just if you were like the same saver, same circumstance in the European, you know, the Western European economy, it would take you, and this is like going to blow you away, 450 years to get your money back. I mean, it's just insane. And so you can't. So you're screwed going into the game. So we try and talk about, you know, is how what can you do to maximize the financial opportunity that's presented to you? And, you know, that's like, you know, how, here's a great idea. First of all, get a job and make money. Here's another idea. How about, you know, make money and then spend less than you make. Save some of what you save, right? You save some of what you make. And so it all gets back to that money every month. And from a commercial real estate standpoint, you know, what we talk about, you know, all those things. And, you know, like I just said, earn and save and that goes back to what we call managing cash flow, and which is a really big thing. And so, you know, that's if you want to invest in a commercial building, one of the benefits of investing in a commercial building is you have some control over what happens to you and managing cash flow. So you can, if you have a building with multiple tenants in it and you like one tenant and they're not doing well because you own the building, you can reduce their rent. That impacts your cash flow, impacts their cash flow. It's all this, you know, how you manage that. If you want to maximize the opportunity and you're like Snidely Whiplash from the Bullwinkle cartoons when I was a kid anyway, yeah, you go back out there and say, you know what, you crack the whip and say you got to pay more rent. You know, get off your duff, work harder, make more money because you got to pay me, right? And my wife needs money, so you got to pay me so I can pay her, right? And so this vicious circle, but managing your cash flow. You can't manage your cash flow if you're investing in like 401k and that kind of stuff, right? Because that's beyond your control. Commercial real estate gives you that opportunity. In fact, if you own houses, same kind of deal. So we'll just talk about real estate as an investment, not just commercial real estate, but it's really important. So that's probably manage cash flow is probably would be my number one takeaway. And you said I need three takeaways. I'll give you that's number one is manage cash flow.
But I have a question on the manage cash flow, because if you're somebody who hasn't invested in commercial real estate before or purchased commercial real estate as an investment, maybe you've only put in your invest in your 401k and maybe you have some stock here and there and you've got money in the bank. And then you think, okay, well, I'm going to buy this commercial real estate and I'm gonna have all these tenants that I have to think about and I'm busy and I have a job. So who's gonna manage that for me? Like so, what's the options there?
So that's a really good question. So it gets back to your goal. I mean, the first thing you wanna talk about is what's your goal, what's your vision for your investment. So if you, you know, if you're just somebody who has a lot of money sitting idly on the sideline and you wanna put it to work, that is one type of investor. The other type of investor is the guy that doesn't have a lot of money but wants to get in the game. And so that investor has a different kind of track. And so there's an active investor and there's a passive investor. I'm somewhat in between because I could hire everything that I have to be managed by a third party, but I choose to manage it myself because I know that management is so critical. And you know, you can lose money by having a bad manager. But the answer to your question is, yeah, I mean, if you're busy and you have a job and you have equity that you want to put into real estate and all that stuff, you can hire somebody to manage it. Commercial real estate in that sense is way better than a house because if a commercial building has some kind of a problem, typically it's solved during the business day, during the business week. But if it's a house that you're investing in and you have a tenant and the plumbing stuck and it's like 10 o'clock at night and it's snowy out and you get a call and you're going to say, ugh, and you're going to feel really sad. You know, who are you going to get, right? You know, not Ghostbusters. And you have to call Olson Plumbing or somebody and say, come on out here and fix my deal.
Emergency hour.
Exactly.
Rate. Yes.
Yeah. So it could be a pain, total pain. But, you know, so it just depends on scale, how many tenants and, you know, that kind of stuff. But probably a lot of the people that would listen to this podcast or would be people that are trying to get in the game. And they're going to have to be active managers. And it's really interesting because a lot of those guys are people who are in the trades. You know, because they have skills, so they're not as afraid. One of the biggest challenges isn't who's going to manage it, but it's a bigger challenge is who's going to have the courage to step up and take action and actually buy the property and say, I'm going to figure out who's going to manage it. You know, so management is one of those things that delimits people because, oh my God, I'll never be able to manage it. So they get scared to death and they don't do anything. So it scares them into inaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you there. Okay. So on to number two.
So number two is, okay, so what's the question again? Remind me of the question.
Commercial real estate for investors.
I know. I'm just checking to see, making sure everybody's staying awake here. You know, I got to make sure everybody's just listening, you know, so you got to listen. You got to pay attention. So we talk about three benefits, really, of investing in commercial real estate. It's what we're really talking about. And so the managing cash flow, building money every month. I can be really honest and say that if you know, it used to be interesting back in the day, you'd get a building or you get some tenants who are paying you, you know, money every month. And it's like they have a job, you know, and you have people. They're like your employees if you think about it. I mean, they got to go out and work and do their job to pay you. So it's like, you know, if you look at it that way, you got like this team of people. So like I have like all these tenants. I don't look at them. They're like employees almost, you know. They're out there working to pay their rent so they can stay there and live, right, or work their business. But one of the great benefits is if you set it up where you manage your cash flow and if you manage your expenses and so you produce a profit, you can build great equity. And so that's point number two. So you generate cash flow, which produces equity, which is an improvement in your net worth, in your balance sheet, however a banker might couch that. But it shows that you have good credit and you're able to borrow more money in the future if you need to. And so equity or the appreciation. And so the way you might think about that is really simple. So let's say you have $10,000 that you want to invest. And disregard reality here for a second, but for way of example. And so you take the $10,000 and go put it into the stock market. And if the stock market goes up, 10%, well, today, right? I mean, the stock market's so crazy, it might go up 10% today. But let's just say 10%. So at the end of the year, your $10,000 went up 10%. That means you now have $11,000, went up $1,000, right? If you take that $10,000 and you put it as a down payment on a piece of real estate, and let's say the real estate cost $100,000, so you now have a $100,000 asset, you had $10,000 asset in the stock market, now you took that same $10,000 and you bought a piece of real estate, but because you could get a loan, unique to that kind of an investment, you have a $100,000 investment, and it goes up 10%. So which one, I mean, same percentage increase, right? And same amount of money that you invested, but the rate of return was very significantly different. With the real estate deal, in this case, you made 100% money, 100% return on your money. On the stock deal, you made 10%. Same 10%, but the actual money that you made was significant, right? And so that's what equity, that's what appreciation can do for you. So you if it goes up in value, you don't actually get that money in your pocket unless you cash out, but it's a paper gain, which by the way is a non-taxed gain, which is really a nice way to have a gain. And so eventually, you know, like all investments, I mean, you're holding an investment so you have money to spend in the future. And so if you have that investment over here and it's going up at a reasonable rate of return every year, but it's a larger amount because you're able to leverage up by getting a loan and putting a small amount of your own money into the investment, you will make a huge increase in equity. And you measure it like annual price appreciation or in houses, they call it HPA, house price appreciation. They have all these little acronyms and all that stuff that's kind of cool. So it'd give you some little kind of context back in the day, whatever that means. If you had like a 9% house price HPA, house price appreciation, that was considered kind of a big deal, you know. And now, so I just checked like yesterday, in 2020, the average house across the whole United States, and so some markets like in Colorado Springs is even stronger, across the whole United States, 14%. So if you had a house that was worth, you know, $250,000. I mean, I can't do 14% off the top of my head, but I know it's probably close to $40,000 increase in value. You didn't do anything. It just went up, right? But if you had the same amount of money you invested to buy that house and put it in the stock market and went 14%, you'd be less well off, right? So equity appreciation is a huge second reason why. And so if you know, do the math on a commercial building, you own a building that's worth, you know, $1 million or $2 million, and it goes up 14%, you're feeling pretty good about life. And there is actually a plan, you know, I mean, there's a strategy that the Federal Reserve, they want you to borrow money. We're probably not an economy that grows anymore by production and consumption. We're more of an economy that grows with the increase in aggregate lending, you know, the production of money, you know. So it's really the paradigm for how the world works is changing right before our very eyes, and most people they're not aware. And so how does our economy grow? By putting more money into it. And it has, and that's why when you talk about the disconnection in the economies, the real economy where you're out, you know, people are like broke because they can't, you know, work and they can't buy stuff and all that kind of stuff. And then the economy where people have assets that they're all getting rich, right? And it's because I would argue that most people that are getting rich in the asset economy don't really understand what's going on. But it's all this debt, all this money that the government's throwing out there. So the way our economy works is evolving and changing. And so if you kind of understand all that stuff, then you can play the game. But that means you got to go borrow money, you got to buy property or assets, and, you know, ride that crest or ride that wave of price appreciation.
So while you're talking about appreciation, before you go to your third point, let's talk about prices for a minute. So if, again, talking about someone who has not invested in commercial real estate before but wants to, and they look at this market and they say, oh, well, prices are really high right now. Things are really expensive. Maybe I should buy later. Talk to that person right there.
I'd say, oh my God. Ugh. I am so sorry. You know, the problem is it's like, okay, I played golf with my nephew the other day and he goes, hey, you got any crypto? And I said, you know, I've been watching that crypto bus. I'm kind of thinking that crypto bus might run into a bridge abutment. I'm not sure about that. He goes, no, I know. He goes, you know, take and put some, you know, go get $10,000 and buy some Bitcoin. He goes, guarantee it's going to double by the end of the year, right? So he's a millennial. And I said, I don't even know how to buy Bitcoin. And then if I buy it, can I even resell it, right? So I have no knowledge, right? And so he's like, it's probably 33 and he's just a stud, you know? And I mean, it's just, you know, it's, oh, come on, uncle, you got to do this, right? So I actually was getting all lathered up. I thought about it, and then I kind of thought better of it because I'm an investor, and my nephew is a gambler. He's a speculator, you know? And so when you talk about the values of where they're at, prices are really high, and they're going to keep going up. I mean, what we're seeing is ridiculous, and it's not just in Colorado Springs, but it's across America. Every market I go to, I'm in the real estate market looking for deals and, you know, trying to find stuff. And, you know, I just did a property valuation for a local bank just before lunch. And it was funny. I talked to the lender. I said, you know, I think I did the valuation on that building a few years ago. Check the file. And so she did. And true, I had done the valuation for that building like in 2018. And I read it, and the valuation for that property in 2018, which was 3 years ago, was like $550,000. And I put down all the rationale for it. And today, I was talking on the phone after I looked at it, and everything said, that building's worth $1,060,000. It like doubled in 3 years. And actual real live numbers. And we've actually seen that with just straight across the board. And so the average investor is going to say, oh my God, like you can't buy it, right? And you would think you can't. But the problem is that, and I tell this to everybody, and if you find a piece of real estate, and we're talking about real estate, if you find a piece of real estate that you like, you just got to buy it and not pay attention to the price. And then you do what I teach, which is contrary to, you know, probably good math, that is you find something you like, you buy it. You get a loan, take a deep breath, you know, you about have a stroke and because all that, and then you pay it down and then you pay it off and you're debt free. And so that's the goal, is buy it, pay it down, pay it off. And I tell this to people all the time and they go, well, that's bad math. And I said, well, it just depends on what your exit strategy is, what your goal is. We'll talk about exit strategy in a minute. But, you know, if your goal is to get a maximum rate of return on a leveraged investment, that's one thing. But if your goal for the average person is to acquire an asset for the long term that can help him later on, so he'll have spending power later on, whether it's retirement income or just cash to spend, you know, that's a different way of looking at it. So I like to buy assets that I like, the building I like. And my benchmark is, will I live in it or would I office in it? And if I would, then I'll buy it. And if I wouldn't, I won't touch it. And by the way, that's changed a lot, because when I was a lot younger and just starting out, I would buy anything. Because I just was, you know, that ilk. I said, you know, I just got to go out and buy stuff. And I would, you know, if anybody would sell me anything and I could qualify, I would buy it. And different time of my life, a lot younger, could take more risks and all that stuff. So a key thing is to have an idea what you want to do. And so I would say to that person who wants to get in the market, get in the market. Because 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you're going to say, oh my God, you know, I remember thinking how expensive it seemed back then. And, you know, I wish I'd bought two or three. Right. I mean, it's a cliche. So, yes.
So we're back to take action.
We're back to take action, which yes. People let prices scare them so they don't. And, you know, yeah. We keep talking about, you know, live without fear. I like to always tell people. In fact, I have a lot of these religious people. I tell them my personal life philosophy and it makes them crazy. I say, okay, here's how it works. You live without fear. You can do no wrong. And when you die, you get to go to a cool place. And, you know, mention that to like a Catholic priest or something. They're not really buying that. One of my good friends is an Episcopal priest, and he and I have these big talks over brandy. And but at any rate, so that's my advice is jump in the market, buy stuff, own it for the long term, get it paid down. Then again, it's contrary to what you're going to have all the people that want to sell you stuff tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything, so I can actually give you good advice.
All right. Takeaway number three.
So takeaway number three is to, you know, commercial real estate or really any investment. How about for your life? Just have an exit strategy. And so there's all kinds of ways. You know, I like to tell people it is really easy to get into a deal. And I have people pitch me on deals all the time. You know, I think I had somebody pitch me on a deal on the way over here to get into a business where we dig a pit. And you know all those trucks that go around and suck the dirt out of the lines? They're all over town. So anytime there's underground trenching, they have a truck that sucks all that stuff, like a big vacuum cleaner, and they use water. And so they suck that stuff out, and it gets in the like a reverse, like a cement truck, and fills it up. You know, they got a place to dump that stuff out. And so the place they were dumping it closed. And so this guy's saying, hey, I got this land. Let's dig a pit, and we can have a pit where they can dump all this stuff. And it sounds like a great idea, right? I mean, I'm kind of halfway interested, and it'd be kind of fun. But, you know, I don't know anything about it. And my point is, it's easy to get into a deal, and the guy that asked me is a great guy, and I would do a deal with that guy. But then before you get into the deal, you always have to think about how are you going to get out of the deal? What's the exit strategy? And most people never, ever think about that because they get so lathered up about getting in a deal. And then if it goes south, or if the investment's not great, or whatever the circumstances, things change. We always talk about the four Ds: death, divorce, disaster, and destruction, right? Something bad gonna happen, which creates opportunity. And if you don't have a plan, if you don't have an exit strategy, you're gonna be like paddling a canoe with a broken paddle going the wrong direction against the current. You're gonna be sad and lonesome, you know? So an exit strategy. So you can design an exit strategy if you own a good, you know, own good commercial real estate. So exit strategy be, we talked, I think, about this before, where a lot of people who own commercial real estate own it to put their business in there. And so a great exit strategy for a guy like that would be to sell the business when he's ready to retire and to continue to own the building and lease it to the person who bought the business and then collect rent long term. Or another exit strategy would be to sell the business and sell the building to the person who's buying the business and carry the note and collect money on a promissory note. Or another exit strategy might be to sell the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel and just get a big fat check and take off to Belize, you know, or something fun like that. So, but the point is that when you control your own deal, let's say you go into something with vision so you can manage your money every month, your cash flow. Generally speaking, you're going to get an asset that's going to appreciate in value over time. So you're going to, you know, become rich, even though it was really funny as we have classes that I teach every week to guys. And we talk about, you know, being consciously competent. You know, the four quadrants of competency. There are people who are consciously competent. Those are people who are really good and they know there are. And then you have conscious incompetence. They're not really good, but they know they're not good. And they even know why they're not good. And then you have unconscious competence. Those guys are like really good, but they have no clue, right? You've met those guys, right? They're, how does that guy do that, right? He doesn't even know. And then you have unconscious incompetence. They're dumb as a box of rocks, and they don't even know they're dumb as a box of rocks, right? And so we try to talk to these people about being consciously aware of what they're doing all the time. And it's all this stuff kind of fits together. And so when you talk about making money in real estate, most people are not consciously aware, and we talk about this in another show sometime, the five ways you can make money in a real estate deal. So if you just get out and take action and buy something and manage the cash flow, get the equity appreciation and have an exit strategy, you're going to make money and you're not even going to be aware of why you're making the money. And I show people, I go down through like the five ways to make money in real estate. And it's really funny. A tenant in one of my buildings has a lot of family money, and they're just the most nice people and big California real estate people. And he'd never heard of the five ways to make money in a real estate deal. And this guy's a real estate guy. And he calls me up. He goes, I wrote about it in this letter I write. He goes, is that true? I go, of course it's true. And if you knew what you were doing, so your return would go, like an example I used was like from 10% to 19% return if you knew what was going on. So you can be an unconscious competent and still get 19%, even though you're thinking you're getting 10%, which is really funny. So that's why we talk about these levels of consciousness and awareness and education and all that kind of stuff. But manage your cash flow, equity appreciation, and exit strategy, you know, that's the benefit that you can get with really any good real estate investment.
Now, you just mentioned a letter that you write, which is your, are you talking about your market report?
Oh, yeah, Tim Lee's market report.
So if someone wanted to get your market report, which I recommend people do, how do they do that?
They can, let's see, they can probably just go online to timlee.com, or they can shoot me an email at tim@hofflee.com or tim@timlee.com. And I think actually we're going to, the guy that helps me publish is really funny. You know, I'm just like a Norwegian from North Dakota. I don't know anything. But somebody turned me on to this service where you could get like a part-time helper, virtual helper. Was that you?
Yes.
So I got a guy in Albany, New York, right? He's a retired, like he ran like the state mental hospital. Seriously, it was like, I mean, it's a crazy story, right? And so he's an expert with what I need. So he helps publish my market report now. It's like awesome. And he's like a total liberal, back East Coast liberal. And, you know, I'm not. And so he and I have some really interesting conversations. And he tries to edit my writing, which is really funny. Because so that's what, and actually, I started having my dog be one of the columnists on my writing because I feel like he can't edit the dog as much as he wants to edit me, and which is pretty funny. But, yeah, just shoot me an email or contact us through this show or through the podcast or whatever, but tim@timlee.com, and they sign up and they agree to just receive it. And we talk about there's two columns. One is kind of a lifestyle column that my dog writes. And the other one is has to do with the like money every month stuff that we talk about here. And then there is a horribly, you know, crass commercial message on everyone that talks about, hey, buy some real estate from Tim.
Well, especially if we're talking about people who would want to buy commercial real estate for investment, you've got several properties on there that you're listing or you guys are involved in.
Well,
so
we think
that's a good place to start.
Right. We think that the letter provides a lot of value, actually. I wouldn't say it's a crass commercial message, but, you know,
I think it does.
And we, you know, we have about 5,000 of my closest friends that get that every 2 weeks and happy to add people's names to it. It's really interesting, just as a sidebar, I'll tell you, when I started that years ago is when I was an elected official, and I had about 10,000 names on that list. And I had concluded at that time that if you had 5,000 people in a community of this size, which is like roughly 830,000 people at this point, with only 5,000 people who would vote with you, you could control the policy of an entire city. And most people don't know that. That's how small, that's how important your vote is, you know, because it's so small the number of people you need to control policy.
Yeah.
And so that was the genesis, but it's evolved. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I would recommend people sign up for it if you're not receiving it already. We do have some of our closest friends who are supporters of our show.
We do. Chris Werner put the roof on my house. I always laugh because we say this every time. And it's like, I don't know how, I don't have his phone number. I mean, it's Werner Restoration. He's on the internet. He's a hell of a nice guy. And he's not much of a golfer, but, you know, he likes to think he is. You ever notice all these roofers, they got like, they're like really big shoulders and chests. And then when they do their ads on TV, like at their golf shirt and it's buttoned down to like their navel, they need like a gold chain, right? These roofers. But anyway, Chris Werner, imagine this guy, he's like kind of, he's not a really big guy, but he's got huge shoulders and he gets up in that big truck. And then, you know, I get a kid. They're all, it's like a cliche, right?
So he's a great roofer, but not much of a golfer.
I don't know. He keeps wanting to golf, and, you know, so I don't know. We'll have to take him out. But anyway, Chris, Werner Restoration, good guy. Give him a call. Get him on the internet. And the other guy is actually a lady, is a friend of ours, Jennifer Payne. She sells cars over at Norwest Auto. Their store is located, I want to say, at 330 South Circle. There's a North Circle. It's North Circle because it's north of Pikes Peak. But it's a corner of Platt and Circle, Norwest Auto. And she and her son, who, by the way, her son better be over there working this morning because Jennifer wants to work part-time. But she's, you know, it's a great little family operation. And so if you want to learn how to get a car and not get taken advantage of and have money every month, I'd recommend you go over and talk to Jennifer.
All right. Well, great content for commercial real estate investors, potential commercial real estate investors. That's it for episode 3. And next week, we'll be talking about how you fund those commercial real estate purchases. Thanks for listening. This is Money Every Month.
This has been Money Every Month with Robin Roberts and Tim Lee. Join us weekly for more invaluable insight into the world of commercial real estate. And be sure to listen to the companion podcast on Podbean,